Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Will are back, and we are here recapping episode number 5 of Survivor 47. We just had a blindside that was a blindside, I think, more to the people on the island than it was to the audience, unless I'm mistaken. I'd been putting Annika down near the bottom of my rankings, not really because of anything Annika did, but just because of how much this Sierra and Sam relationship has been played up. But she took this hard. This was like Michaela levels of pissed off walking out of there. And I don't know if like somebody from production eventually said, Annika, you have to start walking towards the exit here. But she, it looked like she
was I thought Jeff was going to come in at some point. But, you know, because it's supposed to be, the person voted out will have to leave the tribal council area immediately. I believe he still says that. And you're not, I mean, I remember in season one, they made a big deal of like, you're not sharing words with anybody once the vote has happened. But clearly, we're this far into the show. We don't need to hold that rule. And if it's good TV, it's good TV. And I think that's why they let this thing go, because this was a pretty unique moment for Annika to be completely blindsided by But you're right. I think we did see it coming. I'm not so sure this was the correct move, though, Phil. I think we should break this down. I was a big fan of this idea earlier in the game, if they had lost a challenge earlier. But you know, I mean, if you're watching Survivor at this point in the new era, you know you're merging at 13 or you're doing the mergatory at 13. So don't you want to keep like some unity with your tribe heading into a merge? And I think from Sam's perspective, this was a great idea at, you know, 14, or at, sorry, at 15, 16, 17, 18. But to do this now, I don't know. I almost feel like now you've just burned Rachel. Can you really even rely on Andy? Like Andy, yes, he's loyal to you, but he's kind of a messy, sloppy, wild card type of player. And so now it's just here and Sam sitting going in with, I think, fewer numbers than if they had just voted out Andy. They haven't really made any waves with their current tribe and they're going in four strong.
I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't, because I've been saying,
I thought you were going to take the other side of that.
No, and that's why I'm happy. I'm so happy that you brought this up first, because then you couldn't just senselessly disagree with me like you like to do sometimes. And now we have to agree. We don't have a choice, because here's the thing. I agree with you. Like when I'm watching this, I think for Sam, the move that makes the most sense is you want to keep the numbers on your side, right? And if you were to vote out Andy, you guarantee the best you can do at the next tribal council is 2-2. Rachel and Annika, from what we were watching in the edit, were inseparable. We know that the breadwinners exist. Sam knows that the breadwinners exist. So You want to get rid of this number. But like you said, if you're assuming that in the new era, we're going to get a final 13 merge, which has happened every season of the new era, right? Am I wrong on that? I think it's every season.
No, that's...
Or was it 14 once?
No, I'm trying to think. It's always been, yeah, because they do 6-6 and one person, you know, season 41, 42 was our last time. We'd send one person away, two tribes of six. That's 13. So, yeah. And then maybe it happened at 12 in one of the seasons. But, like, I think at this point, you're pretty confident in a merge at 13.
10, 11, 12. Yeah, I mean, so, but all that is to say, I was just trying to do quick counting there. All that's to say, doing it right now, you have to assume the merge is coming next. And you know Survivor's going to try to throw twists at you and mix things up, so maybe you don't want to look too far ahead. But if you are assuming that there is a tribal, or there is a merge coming, you are now going in 3-1. You're not going in unified. And if you had voted out Andy, you're going in 4-strong. And if you're Sam and Sierra, you have your options wide open, because Annika and Rachel, yes, they're a tight pair, but now they're a tight pair in a group of 13, not a tight pair in a group of 4. And so, yeah, I do agree with you. This was probably the wrong move.
Especially for Sierra. Like, Sierra had it made, where she was going to have two alliance members in the breadwinners and then have a secret alliance with Sam. Hmm. So I think really not good for her. Maybe you could make an argument for Sam that if he goes in as, like, the fourth of this foursome heading into the merge, what we've seen in the new era, and I do like to disagree with you, so maybe I will play devil's advocate a little here.
Hey, you already said it, though. Everybody knows your real feelings, so it's okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, this was absolutely the right move for Sam, because in the new era, what we've often seen, we've always had three tribes coming into one, and what usually happens is there's this, like, cabal of power players from each tribe, and they get together, and they say, okay, let's go around in a circle and give me a sacrifice from your tribe. I'm trying to think of a good example. I think this was with Mariah on the Green Tribe last season, where it's like...
Maria, yeah.
No, Mariah.
They offered up Mo
as the sacrifice. So Charlie or Maria or whoever was like, yeah, we can offer Mo up. And they, like, went around in a circle. Okay, who can you guys offer up? So if you're Sam, you don't want to be that offered sacrifice player, and he is a physical threat, and so he could be someone that will get eyeballs, especially with all this talk going on at other tribes about him and Sierra running the show. So maybe from Sam's perspective, it's a little bit better that he wants to be at the top of a threesome as opposed to a bottom of a foursome. You could make that argument for Sam, but from Sierra's point of view, I absolutely don't see this being the right move. And if Sierra had put her foot down, like, what Sam
would have played the idol for Andy. That's the only thing he could have done.
But I don't even know if he does that. I think he'd rather keep trust with Sierra, or Sam could just strong arm Sierra and say, look, if you do that, I'm playing my idol. So that is possible. But if Sierra had told Sam, it's not like she would be betraying Sam or blindsiding Sam or lying to Sam in any way. She'd be like, look, I want to stick with the girls. I think it's better we have these numbers. There's not all that much Sam can do unless, play his idol and kind of put himself, isolate himself, basically. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it would have been wiser if you just vote out Andy. That's kind of my thinking, but I get it from Sam's perspective a little bit.
I think you're right. And I think with Sierra, if Sierra feels really good right now that her and Sam are the duo of this trio, then great. And if she feels like she can go back to
Rachel. Oh, they absolutely are.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. And then if she feels like she can go back to Rachel and Rachel, we can get in good. Here's the reason why I did this. Maybe she explains it well, says Sam had the idol. Maybe she says Sam was threatening to strong arm her and just was going to play the idol for Andy anyway. I think Sierra has options, but I do agree that Sam comes out of this knowing that if they were to get down to, and we know we don't do final twos anymore, but if they were to get down to it, let's say at final four, where it's the three of them and one other person, and they're trying to debate who they're going to send home because the other person is a goat, let's say, and they're going to come. Sam knows right now that Andy and Sierra would both want to take Sam, right? Like they are aligned with Sam. They're going to choose Sam to move forward in the game. But Sierra and Andy don't actually know who Sam is more loyal to. The edit has pretty much told us that he is more loyal to Sierra. But Sierra is never going to be closer with Andy than Sam is with Andy. And Andy's never going to be closer with Sierra than Sam is going to be with Sierra. So this is a perfect move for Sam. For this to work out for Sierra, Sierra has to be 100% confident that she really is above Andy in the pecking order.
Yeah, but I still worry about Rachel just being like, all right, guys, I'm a free agent. See you later. I'm going to spill all the beans. And you have like this rogue person going into the merge that has all your intel. So, I mean, at what cost is that? And you're moving forward with Andy also, who, yeah, we've seen a little bit better gameplay from Andy, but nothing tells me that Andy is not going to do something silly or reckless in this season. I think that's like a big consideration too. If it was like some other person on the bottom, like the person now you're putting your eggs in your basket with. You're putting your eggs in Andy's basket. And Andy is a wacky basket. There's a lot of holes in that basket. We don't know what it's made out of. Maybe it's glued together in some weird way. It's not a very reliable basket.
What I think is going to work for Sierra and Sam ultimately is even if Rachel wants to go rogue, these tribes are such a mess. Tiana blowing up Gabe's game. Tiana's persona non grata. Then you have over on Red, whatever the hell is going on with the four of them. I mean, they are a disaster, and we'll talk about them like going back and forth. Rome telling Saul one thing, and then it's getting back to Genevieve. He's telling Genevieve one thing, it's getting back to her. Like, it's a mess, and I think that's actually going to work because if Rachel goes out there and she's like, well, I want to make this happen, let's just... I do think there was a very purposeful reason that we saw Teeny, Rachel, and Caroline talking at the social hour. I do think that was put in this game on purpose, and the three of them could do something together here, especially since Teeny and Rachel are now going to feel like outcasts going into the merge.
Yeah, well, no, it feels like they're putting together a women's alliance is what they're doing. Because Blue has the women together. I mean, somewhat. It seems like Tiana's on the outs. But then it's like Teeny feels like she's a free agent at this point. Rachel's going to feel like she's a free agent. Caroline and Sue are together. That's four right there. And then you can maybe pull in Sierra and Sam, you know. Who knows?
Yeah. No, and I just think Rachel, probably it's in her best interest to not burn every bridge with this yellow tribe.
Oh yeah. I think we see this all the time where it's like, I mean, we saw Gabe do it today in a confessional where it's like, oh, we're good. We're good. And then in when they're talking to the audience, it's like, I will never trust that person ever again. Yeah. I mean, we saw Rome do it. We had the same confessional with Teeny. Like Rome makes up with Teeny, but then tells the audience, I do not trust her anymore. She's broken my trust. So I think Rachel probably, and that's the right way to play Survivor. Like, don't do what Sue did with Kyle when Kyle wrote your name down, because that was the plan. Like, what'd you expect him to do? Like, don't hold against people like publicly, but if you want to take out revenge or if you want to use that as intel of like, how much can I trust this person? Then that's the right way to play. Like, don't blow it up.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. What do you think about Annika? Annika goes home here.
I gotta say, Phil, like, fantastic episode, by the way. I don't know if we've said like this was another like top tier pre-merge Survivor episode. It wasn't as good as last week's, but I mean, this is back to back to back blindsides, because we had Asia's blindside, then we had Keyshawn and now Annika here. So like back to back to back, really shocking boots. And I don't know, again, we can debate how correct this move was, and maybe it wasn't, but we can be sure that it was good TV. It was very fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, and the reason I was asking with Annika, I said this last week on the on my after show, which, you know, for our patrons, patreon.com/thespecialist. I said this last week, what is really working with this season, I think the editors have really learned this with their 90 minutes now and having multiple seasons of 90 minutes. They have learned that Survivor is at its best when we care about as many people as possible. Too often in the pre-merge of seasons, we would care about one half of the two people who could potentially go home. And therefore, when somebody goes home, we say, who really cares? Didn't know them that well anyway. That could have been the case with Saul, had Saul gone in week 3. Last week, Saul's edit was big enough that I think we would have felt his absence had he gone. But that's what they were doing in the past. And now what they've done is, like, when you have Asia, Rome, Teeny, Keyshawn, you know those people all so well that when one of them is going to go home, when their names are on the chopping block, you're invested in both sides staying. And so that's what I was going to say with Annika. Like, I related to Annika. Like, I liked Annika on this season. I thought she came out, she was playing super hard, loves the game, I think had a lot of good ideas, and was playing a good game of Survivor. Just did not realize how close Sam and Sierra had gotten. But the thing is, we got to know Annika. They could have thrown Annika under the bus early and just ignored her, but they didn't do that. And so because we got to know Annika, and because we got to know her personality, the whole scene with her and Sam last week, with her, you know, bossing him around but being right and all of that stuff, or maybe that was 2 weeks ago, it doesn't matter. When it's her versus Andy, there are pros and cons to both. And that's why this season is clicking so well, because you are getting to know both sides of the story, and they're doing a great job of telling that. Because this vote could have meant nothing if they had just ignored Annika the way that they have ignored so many pre-merge people in the past. Because, like I've been saying, I felt like Annika going from this tribe was very obvious for a long time, but it's still impactful.
It felt that way, but go. It felt that way, but I was even like, as the third vote was being read, and that third vote was obviously going to dictate where Sierra and Sam's votes were landing, I was like, there's a chance it's Andy, and they do it just because we were so close to the merge. Now I'm sitting there thinking, I mean, the right move here is just get rid of Andy. Like, and maybe this blindside is being built up. And what I loved about the editing and the storytelling this episode is the segment with Andy during the build to tribal council. Like, I don't think we've ever seen a scene like this before, where he's putting together this big decoy plan. But as the audience, we're usually either in on that he's in the right and he's trapping them, or that he's the one being fooled. You're usually in one of those two camps. What made this so great was you're watching this and you're like, there's a chance Andy is getting blindsided tonight. Like, there's a chance he's the one that's going to go home, or there's a chance that what he's doing is actually having merit, actually making Rachel and Annika feel super comfortable, and he's actually masterminding these conversations and plans, which is absurd because it's Andy and we've seen how chaotic he's been. Mm-hmm. But then you're also like, but he just might be going home. Like, is this all for nothing? Like, it was such a fun perspective to have when we didn't have all the information, and it would make sense either way as being a really fun scene. So I love that scene.
Owen tweeted about it and said it reminded him of the Anatomy of a Blindside confessional sequence that Jesse had, where Jesse was going through and he was kind of laying the groundwork for, I'm going to do this, and then you're supposed to do this, and then you're supposed to do this. And it was really laying out how to orchestrate a blindside on Survivor. That's kind of what this had a little bit of a feeling of, because it did have Andy being very much the one telling us what was going to happen. And especially now with it coming true, he looks like he's so on top of it and so intelligent. And they didn't break away. They didn't give Annika her like rebuttal. It was just, I'm about to pull one over on her, and she has no idea what's coming. And so, like, she's underestimating.
Yeah, but
she's
underestimating
a lot of people.
Right. And that could be true. But what was so good was that there was a very real possibility. Maybe you didn't feel this way. I felt there was a real possibility that the show is putting this scene together of Andy being saying how smart he is only to get voted off, and it being a very comical scene when you look back on it. And it's like, oh my gosh, the irony, and that he's putting together this mastermind blindsided plan when he's the one actually being blindsided. And I think that was way more of a possibility than it was during the Jesse one, where it felt like the Jesse one, okay, we're just going to watch Jesse cook. The show we knew Jesse there's no way Jesse was going home. Whereas like here, you're like, are we like, should we be trusting Andy as a reliable narrator for strategy at this point? Like you did not actually know. And that's what made the scene so fun.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I think that's where Andy's been a lot of fun on this season in general, is we don't know what to trust with him. We really don't. Let's talk about this twist. Really hyped up. What'd you think?
I love this twist. I have a lot of thoughts on the execution of it when we get to the social hour part. Mm-hmm. But I think we've always enjoyed like mingling of tribes, maybe not journey, this is just one person from each tribe, but like when they did the summit back in Millennials versus Gen X, I mean that's, you know, 14 seasons ago at this point, which is crazy. But like we were a fan of that then, and any times you can, you know, intermingle the tribes before the merge, we usually are fans of that. I really like this, and what I think the best thing about this was that they didn't add another layer where like we're gonna hide an advantage at the sanctuary, or like you're gonna have this extra step and there's gonna be you might lose a vote, or like, you know what I mean, with all the new era shenanigans that get thrown in, that this was straight up, this is just a reward challenge. Like this isn't that crazy. We're just gonna do a reward challenge with two random tribes and you'll go on reward together, and that's fun. And you do need to do this pretty late in the season to make sure that you know everybody already. Like you can't be doing this with like 9 and 9 people. Or I mean, that'd be the first episode. That's way too early. And I like that this was 7-7, right time to do it. So yeah, I love the twist. I don't know. What did you think?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. The thing for me is the fact that the reward was what the reward was what makes the twist work. Like in terms of them running the challenge, whatever, I don't really care. But the fact that you got them intermingling and it's right before the merge, I think this is a lot of fun, because this is really establishing, you know, the inner workings of every tribe, and it's allowing some people to lie, some people to tell the truth. I also like that the losers all went back to their separate tribes. Losers don't get to interact at all. So there really is a huge advantage to this. And I agree, like having no extra twist or anything like that.
That was the best
part. Important. It's so important.
I thought there was no way that was going to happen. I thought they were going to get the sanctuary. There's going to be a note or a letter, and it's going to be an eye roll of like, do we really need to read more notes and run around the sanctuary looking for coins or dice or keys or whatever? Just let the players socialize and have fun. Absolutely. That really was my big takeaway with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what did you think about the way it shook out though? So they all draw rocks, and it could have been that we could have had all five people from one tribe just end up doing this. Do you like that it was 100% random in this situation?
I mean, I don't know really what else you do. You could do a draft and then you're drawing for rocks for the captains anyway. I don't mind doing it random here because it's a random mishmash anyway. That's like the whole point. It's a mixer essentially. So I don't, and it's not like you're picking tribes. We always say with tribe swaps, man, if they do a tribe swap, can we do it besides random and actually let the players have some like decision power here? But this is like a one-off reward. I have no problem with it being completely random. What I do have a problem with though, Phil, is like, okay, first of all, we're calling it social hour. Why can't we call it happy hour? And why can't we give them booze? Especially if the whole point of this is information sharing. Like,
and they got a dry hot dog, dude. They got, everybody got one dry hot dog.
I was going to get there, Phil. But first of all, give them some booze. It's basically you're calling it a social hour. It's a mixer. Just call it a happy hour. Get them some beer or some margaritas or whatever. I don't know. Like if this is the whole point, is socializing and mingling and sharing information, throw some booze in there. I don't know why that wasn't there. Confusing. Then they each get one hot dog and it's no condiments. And TD even comes back. She's like, yeah, there wasn't any potato salad. Give them the potato salad. Give, like, make the thing awesome. Make this like, because this is a twist that they could keep doing and bringing back like Survivor Happy Hour. And it's something, and if you make it look great on TV and you make it look like you get burgers, dogs, potato salad, mac and cheese, chips, beer, booze, like then the players are going to play hard and want it even more. And it'll be even more devastating when you lose. It's like the reward aspect of it at the Sanctuary was so thin. And it's like, why give them one hot dog? I know it's like 26 days and you want to feed them, but just give them a happy hour, man.
Also, like if you have 6 hot dogs, your stomach's going to hurt so bad when you've eaten nothing else. So like it's a punishment, but Michael Wilde here, vegan hot dog with no condiments sounds more like a punishment than a reward, to be honest. And then Patrick Stahl jumping in with you, Will, Applebee's zombies. That would be great. You know, there's your happy hour. Get that going. I am confused as to why it wasn't a better reward. And then they like went and played cornhole for like 5 seconds. And I didn't really get that. Like, I don't know. I feel like they,
I think that was just to split up people. Yeah. But like even cornhole is,
I mean, it is a game where only 4 people can play.
So. Yeah. But you're putting 2 people apart. So it's like 2 one-on-one conversations, but you're also supposed to be you can't really, like, if you and me are playing cornhole against another team, like we'd actually be across from each other as teammates. Yeah. Which I don't know if they were playing correctly. It seemed like Kyle and Sue were on the same team and standing on the same side, which is not how you play cornhole. But it would be hard to strategize during cornhole. And I think, I don't know, maybe you allowed the other people not playing to have like a 3-way conversation, which we did see. So I don't know. I feel like it's a great idea. Like it's a really, really fun idea. It's new. We're getting pre-merge relationships mingling, like getting that going earlier. And I think with a 13-person merge and it being so chaotic and so hectic that like you're almost like doing a pre-merge. I hate to say that, but like you're like warming not only the players up, but you're warming the audience up too. Like who knows each other? You're planting seeds. And I think when we do merge in the new era, it's often so hectic and so hard to see where people like who knows who and where the vote's going and why are people voting a certain way. I mean, even before the new era, like in Game Changers, I remember it was like they merged and they all voted Haley for like, I still don't know why. So for them to give players these interactions, it helps us build layers on top of like why people are doing what they're doing.
Yeah. So I got 2 things on this. One, I think that the randomness is huge. I think this is the one situation where drawing rocks at random is great for the twist. I actually think it's like how it should work. I feel like you shouldn't pick for this because it should just be luck of the draw who you're going to talk with. The second thing I'll say is, though, this is infinitely more interesting than Earn the Merge. Earn the Merge is another situation where you're drawing rocks and then, you know, you're kind of having, oh, I'm going to bond with these people maybe because we're all immune or something like that. This is so much more interesting that I hope that this becomes the norm and Earn the Merge goes out the window. And
we're probably earning the merge next episode.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we still get both. But if I'm saying moving forward, they got to cut one and keep something else going, this is so much more interesting because we actually get to see players interact and they don't know what's coming next. And maybe you do this one time at Final 14 and they all think the merge is coming at 13 and the merge doesn't come till 11 or 12 or 10. Like that could be fun too, because now how much do you want to spill your guts? You could also be spilling one episode too early. If you go into this twist and you start telling people things a lot like Tiana did, well, if Tiana's tribe loses tonight, Tiana goes home. Now Tiana makes the merge, but will people trust Tiana? How are they going to feel about what she was saying? But also, if Tiana did feel like she was in a terrible spot, this type of twist could be something that could save her, but she still needs to get through at least one more vote, and we all know that. So I think that this is really compelling. I think it really worked out. And I do think that there are going to be alliances and relationships that formed at this that can continue to move forward through the game.
Yeah. No, I'm here for it. I love it. I just like, give them a dry full barbecue. Yeah, give them a full barbecue and like make it a thing.
18 eggs was more food
than 7 hot dogs. Yeah, that is more probably. Yeah.
Probably. We got Slukas with the super chat. Thank you, Slukas. Where does Rachel go from here?
I think Rachel, like, this is optimal timing for her because I think she's pretty savvy. She kind of reminds me in Teeny in a way. And I know we talked about Teeny last week and how she was going to be in a bad spot. But I don't know what you and Bruce talked about. I was saying after last week, like, I'm not really that worried for Teeny. I think she will find a way to recover. And she absolutely did because she's a savvy player and that's what happens. And I kind of feel the same way about Rachel, that Rachel won't make a big scene, won't burn bridges. And then she can now go to other, she already established relationship with Caroline and Sue, or at least it seemed that way from the mixer or the social hour. So I'm really not that worried about Rachel. I think if she needs to, she can go back to her yellow tribe and be like, guys, you blindsided Annika. You didn't blindside me. I'm here to work with you. Or she has other options on other tribes. She can throw them under the bus. I think she's got like options, and that's what you want on Survivor. So I'm not that worried about Rachel.
If you're going to have something go wrong, you want it to go wrong as close to the merge as possible. That's my feeling.
You want a big change to the game when you find yourself at the bottom or the game's going against you. And I mean, there is maybe, again, if it goes to this new era thing of like everyone just pick someone from your tribe to nominate as the boot, then yellow would say, yeah, Rachel is like the one. And that could be like the thing working against her. And maybe, hey, maybe she goes home. But I think she's good enough of a player from what I've seen of her that she'll find her way out of it.
Yeah, I think she's going to be fine. And I think there's plenty of options because, again, none of the tribes are going into this merge being like, woohoo, we're all so united. All of us are working so well together. There's somebody who's an outsider on every single tribe. There are dynamics that are not working out for everybody on every tribe. So, yeah, I mean, I really do think that that Rachel's going to be fine next week. Like, I will not be putting Rachel at the bottom of my power rankings by any means in this upcoming weekend.
Who are you putting at the bottom?
I don't know.
We have to wait till Sunday.
People have to find out. I don't actually know who my guest is this week. So we'll have to see what happens. I know. I have one lined up. Uh-oh. And then they had something come up. So now I'm scrambling last second.
Maybe I can be your guest.
You might have to be the guest.
If I need to be the guest, then
we'll have to get one of your, maybe we can get one of your friends to be a guest too. Here's Jayburn Aquatic predicting the winner will be Kyle, Teeny, or Saul. What do you think about any of that?
I don't think Kyle has the game to win, honestly. Like, I think he's a nice guy. He doesn't know Survivor well. And that's the new era. Teeny, definitely possible. Saul, we got a lot from Saul tonight that I actually really liked. I think Saul is kind of a sleeper winner at this point. Like, I don't fully see it as much as Teeny, but I wouldn't rule Saul out like I would rule Kyle out.
I think Teeny, Saul, Kyle. I don't see Kyle. CoolShot77. Andy now is the best voting confessional of the new era so far after tonight. Agreed? ? He didn't even have the best confessional of tonight. The best confessional of tonight was Genevieve. Genevieve with the eye roll.
Whoa, he's saying voting confessional.
Oh, voting confessional. Oh, I missed the word voting. I'm exhausted, dude. All right, voting. What was his voting confessional?
I don't even remember it.
Oh, no, I do. He said, I have been doing whatever for 10 days.
Something about 10 days or a long time. I've been on the bottom or something, and now I'm coming after you or like something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just so, I never know whether to like take Andy as a serious player or if he's the one getting bamboozled. I mean, obviously we know the results tonight, but I still, moving forward, I don't know if I can fully trust
Andy. What are you giving Andy's chances of making final three?
If he makes final three.
Zach, burying you for 10 days and this is your tombstone. That is.
There we go. Like, it's almost great because it's Andy and it's a little cheesy. It's like, I'm burying you and this is the tombstone. Like, it's on, I don't know if it's like that hard hitting, but that's what makes it so funny.
Yeah.
If Andy gets to final three, like, is there a shot Andy wins?
No. I don't think so.
His story would be so remarkable. Like, I had a breakdown at the first challenge, episode one, going to tribal council. I could not fit in, and I worked my way through this game and voted all you out, and I'm sitting here.
I don't think that people are going to connect with Andy in a real enough of a way to give him $1 million.
Yeah, maybe.
I think his social game is going to hurt him pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm rooting for. I mean, it would be just an absurd story if Andy wins this season.
Like, but it's also like
it would actually be like an incredible, incredible story in season if he finds a way.
But like you're saying, you don't know whether to take him seriously or not half the time. I think that's how a lot of this cast probably feels too. Like, how seriously, like, Annika wasn't taking Andy seriously. Rachel,
and look what happened to her.
Yeah, exactly. But are you going to then turn around and vote for that person to win? Or are you just going to be like, nah, I'm not going to give it to Andy. I don't want him. I mean, I love that. The Andy Gabler. Zayden Rusicki, the Andy Gabler. I like that.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, and then somebody here, Mr. Manny, says D's Play Your Damn Idol is better. The D's Play Your Damn Idol is a great voting confessional for sure. Let's talk about this dynamic over on Red, since we've been talking so much about Yellow. Over here on Red, we have Teenie desperate coming back. Rome pretty pissed at Teenie, even though Teenie couldn't vote, which I thought was interesting, like how mad Rome was. And he was like, I thought you said you had my back, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, Genevieve was feeding me that same information. I didn't even vote tonight. If you guys would have told me it was Keyshawn, maybe I would have. Like, you know, I thought that was
interesting. Yeah, but Rome, and I'm actually surprised Rome, because Rome was being pretty gullible through this pre-merge, especially when he walks up on Teenie showing Keyshawn his box and like being like, oh yeah, I trust you guys completely. Like Teenie pulled one over on Rome, and Rome called it out very specifically, which is, you knew the plan was on me. That was the vote that Keyshawn was putting together. And I know you can't vote, but you did not come and tell me. What's your answer there, Teenie? And there's not really a defense. And Teenie's smart. She said all the right things. I couldn't vote. It was Keyshawn's plan. I didn't know what to do. And Rome's like, yeah, but you could have come and told me. If we're number one allies, you come and tell me. If like, come on. And that's why when Teenie's talking to Genevieve, Teenie's like, what am I even supposed to say to her? Like, there's nothing she really could have said. And I think she did as good of a job as she could have. But yeah, I mean, Rome has every right to be like, I don't trust
Teenie. No, and I agree. I think Rome has the right. I was just surprised how annoyed he was with Teenie, considering Teenie didn't actually write his name on parchment. So I thought that
he was in on the plan to vote him out. It's not that different. It's like, I don't know, just because you couldn't vote doesn't mean you.
How many votes did Rome get?
Zero. But if Teenie had a vote, who was she voting for, Phil?
She was voting for Rome.
There you go. So like, she was in on the plan, didn't tell, like, that doesn't matter. And Rome's smart enough to know, like, I don't care that you didn't have a vote. Like, if you did have a vote, you would have written my name down.
No. Yeah. But then let's talk about, though, now Genevieve is talking to Teenie, and Genevieve says, you're in the middle. It's you and me, and Saul and Rome don't like each other. They're both going to fight for us. Okay, I kind of agree with that. Then we get Rome going over and talking to Saul and saying, look, man, like, I'm going to spill everything to you. Genevieve doesn't want to work with you, this, that, whatever. Then he goes to Genevieve and starts talking crap about Saul. What was the plan here?
I think the plan is Rome basically wants to be, you know, godfather, mastermind, all this, where he's number one. Everybody is his number one, basically, where it's like, Saul can look at Rome after that conversation, and Saul goes, you know what? Rome just told me all this honesty and this truth, and he has my back. And you know what? Rome's now my number one guy.
Yeah.
Then he can go to Genevieve. Same story. Maybe he tries to repair with. I think that was Rome's goal, that he basically just wants to be in with every single person, so that if his name ever comes up, you know, one of his number one allies will let him know, like Genevieve let him know last week. But this is playing a little too. Going a little too far with this. I don't think there's no reason to spill everything to Saul, especially you're not going to tribal council yet. Like, maybe if you had a scramble, you're sitting pretty, you're in the numbers. You just survived a vote out where, you know, Saul wants you gone a little bit. Like, let's not forget Saul and Rome were enemies last week, and enemies the entire pre-merge. Mm-hmm. So Saul is still like someone who should be on your radar as a threat, as someone who's going to write your name down. We know Teenie was in on a plan to write your name down, didn't tell you. And that's half the people on your beach. So I think you've got to be a little bit more careful here. But how impressive is Genevieve, how she handles the conversation with Saul? Genevieve. Who? Oh, yeah. Purple Genevieve.
I don't know who that
let's
is.
Not, so she- let's not, because there might be people who are tuning into us for the first time, and like, we don't want to spread.
I can't troll the people who were so stupid on this. Come on. I have to be allowed to troll. Genevieve's great. Like Genevieve,
like amazing. Like, she is like the ideal Survivor player. And I don't know if she's going to win, because often in the new era, like, the best player doesn't win. It's like so, it's like so chaotic and random. But like, from what I've seen so far, she is the best Survivor player this season.
I totally agree with you. Genevieve is doing such a good job of allowing people to talk at her, right? Like Genevieve is allowing everybody to spill their beans. And then she's turning it around and she's able to have all the information when she goes into every single conversation. The tribe is running through Genevieve. Rome is going to Genevieve. Saul is going to Genevieve. Teeny is going to Genevieve. When Rome goes to Saul, the first thing that Saul does is go to Genevieve. Like everything is going through Genevieve.
But the best part is she's so casual about it. And it's not obvious that that's happening because she's not going up to anybody. Like it's not like Rome being the instigator or the person initiating these conversations. People are coming up to her and she's sitting back like, oh, really? Rome said that. Well, Rome just told me that you are putting Teeny's name up there really hard and pushing Teeny. And so I was like, huh? What? Like Genevieve, like she was not when Saul came to her and said, you don't want to work with me. And she even has an amazing confessional where she's like, yeah, I don't want to work with Saul. I don't have any plans.
That was the best confession.
I can't have him know that.
Yep.
Like the way her face reacted and her body reacted, she was just leaning back and just like chilling out. And so casually it was like, huh? Yeah. And like did not go, oh, I'm sorry. Like she just played it off so cool as if Rome had completely made that up.
Yeah.
When Rome didn't make that up. Rome was telling the truth. But Saul walks out of that conversation trusting Genevieve way more than trusting Rome.
And Teeny's feeling good too. We got Diego Yu. Genevieve is giving Kim Spradlin. How do you feel about that?
They do have a certain like demeanor about them that's very similar. However, I don't think their gameplay is as similar. I think it's the demeanor that's making everyone think that. Just because they're both tall.
Kim was way more aggressive.
Kim was more of a killer. We need to do this. Genevieve's way more let the game come to me and I'll act when I need to. And hey, maybe if Kim Spradlin was playing New Era Survivor, she would, adapt her game to play that way. Because I think that is the best way to play New Era Survivor is don't be the instigator and just let the game come to you. Mm-hmm. And that's what Genevieve's doing. Just an incredible.
Look at everybody else, right? Like so many players are trying to be the star of their tribe. Like they're trying to be the ringleader of their tribe. We see that with Gabe, Tiana, Sue, like they're all doing that. And then Caroline is kind of sitting back. And people are coming to her and they're talking to her. And
Caroline had a great episode.
Great episode. And Genevieve's the same. And then I would say over on Yellow.
Caroline and Genevieve, who has them on their fantasy team?
Is that all you have left?
These are my two players I love. This is we should celebrate. It's the first night of season 47. I have not lost a member of my fantasy team.
I wonder who, did I have the person? I got to check.
I think Blake ended up having Annika because I think I had last pick.
Blake did have Annika. Yep.
Yeah, Blake had last pick, and I was between John and Annika, and I took John instead of Annika.
Yeah, I still have my whole team intact. Wow.
Reddit r-spoilsurvivor.
Is that what you love? R-?
That's what it is.
It's r/.
Oh, slash.
Yeah. No wonder you're doing terrible. You don't even go to the right website. It's r/. Yeah.
I entered the spoiler website and I get nothing. I get fake.
You're going to the knockoff where it's
They said TK was gonna win. On dash spoiled survivor.
No, I mean I think that we are seeing a different style of gameplay working in the new era, and on this season we are really, really seeing it be highlighted. Caroline, Sierra, Genevieve, they are all playing very low-key games. And those are the games that are working. And I'm going to tell you another one. Teeny right now, and I know I love going to confessionals. I don't care. Teeny has 25 confessionals and has gone to two tribal councils but couldn't vote in one of those tribals. Teeny has not had to be an integral part of the votes. Asia, okay, yeah, like Teeny was the one who felt like she was backstabbing Asia there. But at the end of the day, Teeny is also playing a pretty low key, let the game come to her. If there's nothing that can be done, there's nothing that can be done. Those are the players that are succeeding right now. And Rome and Andy, it's not like they're not having success. I mean, Gabe is even having some success, but I do think that they are going to get got early in the post merge because they're just going to be too obvious and too in people's faces about things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like how far can Rome last? Keep it going. I mean, he's gonna, there's gonna be people that are like, I can't play my game with Rome on this.
Yeah. And he has no advantages right now.
No power.
That's not to say he won't get an advantage eventually, but right now he has no advantage.
What's our advantage kind of tracker here? Does anyone have like a full powered idol? Do we have one of those in play? Because Sam's just got burned tonight. Gabe played his. Rome played his. Sue found a full one.
She has the full idol, yes.
So it's Sue just has the full-fledged idol. That's funny. I thought something was going to come up.
And that's actually the only advantage we have going into the merge, right?
Yeah. Look at New Era Survivor. Too many advantages. Too many lost votes.
Yeah.
We got one idol in play? Everyone has their vote, I think, at this point.
Oh, and then Andy, Caroline, and Teeny have the amulet, but right, that's not really anything right now.
Yeah, I doubt that comes to
fruition. Kyle does not have his vote at the merge.
Okay.
Kyle will not be able to vote.
Still some funny business going on with
votes. A little bit, not much.
Yeah, but not too much. Not where it's so heavy-handed that you're like can't keep track of things.
No, and I will just throw this in there one time since it's another patron thing, but I've been doing Australian Survivor and people they always say Australian Survivor is better because it's better with the casting and all that, and they don't have as many advantages. Dude, Australian Survivor makes it look like US Survivor doesn't have advantages. Like, it's been insane. So it's actually been very refreshing to watch this season as I'm also watching Australian Survivor because I'm like, oh, wow. Like, what a basic version of Survivor. This is a wonderful thing to watch. But on this season, it actually has been a little bit more basic because it has been the less powerful idols. We get Sue's idol with the paint and stuff, which we didn't have any type of aftershock to tonight. There was nothing.
Yeah, it was in the previously on. And yeah. I don't know if that was just setting the tone of the night, but I was like, why is that included? Or do we need to know that Sue has an idol, but we were not even reminded later that Sue had an idol after. It did
feel like Blue was going to go for a little bit.
I was never really fearing.
Really? I felt Blue like they were hinting at Blue hard.
I think it would have been too obvious of a Tiana boot.
I feel like the Annika boot was pretty obvious, but you know.
It wasn't that. I mean, I don't think it was that obvious because I kept thinking, like, you probably voting Andy is the smarter move. That's why that wasn't really the show forecasting that or telling me that. I'm just thinking in the back of my head, like, are they really gonna like piss off Rachel right before going into a merge? Yeah. Like, that wouldn't be smart. Right. So I actually thought that there was a chance that they were just gonna vote out Andy, and that it would have been so funny. His whole mastermind scene would have just been such have a different tone to it. Eggs.
Eggs, dude, how did they get so many?
How? This is crazy to me.
Jeff has gotten so soft. Charmin soft, baby.
Because this is like Jeff has lost his fastball here.
Here's the thing. They said that they had 3 eggs from those chickens.
But 3 broke.
And 2 broke. And he gives them 6 eggs a chicken.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of the chicken reward, and Jeff even said, it's like it causes a dilemma whether you're going to kill them or save them for eggs or when you kill them and all that. And so, like, if you don't want to kill the chickens and eat them, like, that's on you. That doesn't mean you get a different
reward. I couldn't agree more.
And I could maybe see an argument where it's like, hey, there were 2 prizes up for grabs. There was first place and second place. Can we trade this in for the second place prize of 6 eggs? And I'd be like, okay, that'd be a little bit reasonable because you're stepping down in prize level. But now it's like, where did this many eggs come from? I have no idea. This seems like way too many eggs.
What annoys me is it's almost like Jeff gave them that many eggs based on the fact that to eat the chickens, it's a lot of protein. But they were never going to eat the chickens because nobody on Survivor anymore will go out there and eat chickens. They're all scared to kill the chicken. And look, I'm not here some like animal hater. That's not what it is. But like, you're on Survivor. Eat the damn chicken.
Yeah, we've seen, like, we're watching all the old seasons over on Patreon going through them. And like, you're seeing castaways kill pigs, goats, sharks, chickens, like
no questions asked.
pretty regularly. Guess what? Because you're surviving on an island and you're starving.
Yeah.
Did I have chicken today? No, I didn't have chicken today. I had chicken last night. Like, I had I ate chicken yesterday. Okay, I know I didn't kill it, but guess what? I ate chicken. Yeah. So, like, what's the difference if you're on Survivor? I know someone has to, like, pick one person on your tribe to do it. And then, yeah, that's it. Like, Courtney Barres, they don't know the Sia money is done yet.
It's facts.
It could be it, where Sierra's just like, I'm going to be the one who saves the chickens, and then I get the Sia money. I mean, that really could be it. But it's absurd. If this was an older version of Jeff, he would just say, are you guys kidding me? If you don't want to kill the chickens, that's on you. Let's get to the challenge. Yeah. That would have been it. And again, I think the only thing would be like, can we swap it for the second place prize? Because we are moving down a tier, and that is usually allowed. I mean, we were just watching Guatemala when Jamie, he steps down to the bottom tier in the tiered reward challenge in Guatemala, and that he was allowed to do that. And you can always take a lower prize level. So maybe 6X. That would have been it, though. I would have drawn the line there.
I was frustrated. I'm going to be honest. I thought it was weak. And the thing is, like, if they're never going to eat the chickens and Jeff's going to be like, oh, well, we'll give you the equivalent of the chicken. They were never going to eat them anyway. And like, that's on them. And that's not on anybody else. And I honestly think we'll never see a chicken reward again for as long as the season goes, or as long as the show goes. We'll never see another chicken reward because it didn't work this time. And we're at the point now where they're casting. Look, and like, I'm not opposed to people being vegetarian and vegan. Like, that doesn't matter to me. Like, go ahead and be that. But I also feel like if you're going out onto Survivor, you have to understand, like, what the situation is. And maybe you're not that hungry. But if you're that hungry that you want 24 eggs, I'm Jeff. I'm saying, nah, screw you. You don't deserve the eggs.
Like, yeah, and, like, what happened?
This was what you got.
What happened to the new era being the hardest version of it? Like, Jeff should have some – bring the bite back.
I don't like hot dogs. Could I get a buffalo chicken sandwich instead, Jeff? Can you bring that over? Maybe a side of fries too and a milkshake? Like, what are we doing?
Some potato salad and some beer?
Because I don't like hot dogs. And I think that would be a good
equivalent. You don't like hot dogs, Phil?
No, I love hot dogs.
I know you love hot dogs.
I'm just saying. And
Carnies, baby. Carnies.
That Carnies, baby. But that would be the equivalent. It would be, I don't like a hot dog, so let me get potato salad, a cheeseburger, buffalo chicken sandwich, and a salad. And Jeff would be like, well, you can't get the salad, but I'll give you everything else. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's stupid.
Yeah, it's soft.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, here you go. Big Show Gano. I agree with Phil and Jeff right now. That was so soft. Remember how hard he was on Hunapu for losing that flint? Dude, he made Drew Christie look like a fool. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean.
How long until we get this? I'd like to trade a fishing gear for an idol, Jeff. Like, what are we doing? It just felt silly.
Also, if you're really counting, we're spending a lot of time ripping into this, which is fine by me. If you're counting out, like, usually the first place reward is what? Like, I don't know, a quarter or like 30% better, maybe even 50% better.
Yeah.
Like a third better. Like, you get the, like, when it's the fishing gear, it's like, okay, the second place fishing gear, and then the first place fishing gear is maybe like a third better in size.
Yeah, you're getting the Hawaiian sling with.
You're
the
getting flipper. Like a couple of things. Yeah. It's not three times better.
No.
So you gave 18 eggs. Second place only got 6 eggs. So you're saying first place the reward's three times better? That's never the case. That's 300%.
Yeah.
So.
No. Because we'll have to see. I mean, we're not going to get any more rewards this season, but it would be interesting to go back to like episode one and see what the rewards that were given out throughout this season. I mean, I could look it up, but I just feel like you're right. These aren't that much better. So why is it like this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let me see if I can find that.
Blue Trap.
I want to give one more shout out though to the editors real quick, because I have been really enjoying what they've done this season. I think this was one of their finest moments, maybe in the history of the show. Is a good little fun moment. When Jeff starts explaining the challenge, and they cut away because the chicken is pecking at Sierra, and then Jeff starts over again. I thought that was really fun. That's stuff that they would normally leave on the editing room floor. And I feel like this has been a fun season, and that was a really fun idea. And I just,
yeah, maybe,
I
maybe they've been watching House of Villains.
I mean, I don't know if they've gone to that level.
it did give me House of Villains vibes.
House of Villains, Blake and I recapped episodes 1 and 2 last week. So we're going to be doing it again on and Friday. We'll be recapping.
The first episode is now on Peacock. I don't know both of them.
What are they doing?
What's that?
takes them long enough.
What it's a week after it airs. And then I believe the first two episodes are also on like YouTube for free.
They're on YouTube. I have cable, so I can do it. I know. I have cable.
I'm letting the people listening where they can watch the damn show, Phil.
Well, it's on. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying you. It's also on cable, but it's on E, right?
Right. A lot of people don't have cable. So yeah. If you want to watch it online, Peacock or the first two episodes on YouTube.
And then come tune in. We're gonna be live on Friday recapping episode three. The first two episodes are really fun. Yes, it was kind of a House of Villains thing of breaking the fourth wall. And especially like how Jeff always explains the challenge. We've never seen them do that though. And I thought that was fun.
Yeah, no, it was cute.
So here's what we got. Just real quick on these reward/immunities. So episode one, I'm not going to count because only the first place team got it. In episode two, first two tribes land their ball, one immunity plus a large fishing kit for first place and a smaller fishing kit for second place. They don't get into more than that. First two tribes,
three times as big of a fishing kit is what.
Yeah, a large comfort kit and tarp for first place, a smaller kit for second place without the tarp. I think it was just the tarp. So yeah, I agree with you. I don't really understand this.
Yeah.
So, what else is there? Did we cover everything from this episode?
We didn't really talk about the blue tribe. I mean,
it was all about Tiana and Caroline trying to save Tiana. And
I mean, it was nice by Caroline to be like, we need to keep the, she's trying to keep everyone happy, but her plan did not work because Tiana goes and apologizes and she, you know, flubs the truth a little bit, which at Tiana at that point, you can't go up to Gabe and be like, yeah, I told everyone that you're playing way too hard and that you're sneaky and sketchy and that I can't trust you. And that you play an idol. And so she dialed back the truth a little bit. But of course, like, she doesn't know that Sue and Gabe are super tight. Good on Sue and Gabe for keeping that hidden. I mean, the fact that Tiana felt that comfortable in front of Caroline and Sue and Kyle, like, yeah, in front of the entire blue tribe besides Gabe, that she completely believes that everyone else agrees with her on her tribe. Like, that's some confidence right there. That to think that Gabe doesn't have any other ally on your tribe. A little bit messy there from Tiana.
Very messy from Tiana. I still think Tiana's in a lot of trouble once we hit the merge here. It's not been my preseason winner pick. It's not looking good for her.
It's not looking good. I think Kyle has kind of outranked her, and because it was Sue wanted Kyle's head on a spike after that vote, but now it seems like Kyle and Sue are on the same cornhole team and maybe have made up. And Tiana now has found her way to the bottom of that trap.
Yeah. And I do think here's the other thing too. 5-4-4 going.
Yeah. I was just going to say we got there at the same time. If they're the tribe with five people and that's often the tribe targeted. And it's like, if Sue and Caroline need to be like, we need to sacrifice somebody, they're going to give up Tiana. I don't know if that's going to happen this season. Maybe. I feel like that is very common in the new era, though.
It is. Like, if you
look at last season, it's because we have the mergatory. That's why it is that way, because you have the two tribes splitting up, and then the safe people go to the merge feast, and they're eating, and they're immune, and they're like, all right, guys, like, let's figure out who we're going to vote off, and then each tribe says, here's our sacrifice.
Yeah, that boot has been somebody from the original tribe that either has the most people or is tied for having the most people left
every time.
I'm going all the way back to 42. 42, everybody was even, so yeah, I guess that's still technically yes. Cool. Yeah, it is every season, because it was Sydney in 41, 42, it was everybody was even, and it was Lydia. 43, it was Ellie. They had only gotten rid of one person in the pre-merge,
right?
44, it was Josh. He was original Soka. They had only lost one member in the pre-merge. 45, it was Jay Maya. Them and Bello and Reba had both only lost one person in the pre-merge.
Right, because that.
And then 46, it was Mo. And Randon and Jem, like Siga and Nami were even, but it was Mo who ends up going here. So yeah, I mean, I feel like it's probably going to be somebody from the blue tribe.
So in 46, it was two voted off.
Yanu went home, one Nami went home, one Siga went home. It was 3-1-1.
Because Randon was on orange.
Yeah, Randon was on Nami and got mad.
Jem, they just lost Jem green. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
So Jem, yeah. So Mo was tied with Siga, was tied with Nami when Mo went home. So that's all just to say, I do feel like,
Does this make you feel any better here from Noah Simon? No. 18 eggs is less than 2,000 calories. 3 chickens is like 4,000.
Okay, that's fine to say that, but if you're never going to eat 4,000 calories, yeah,
it doesn't
calories.
Change. Yeah, it doesn't change the fact that it's soft and way too much better than the second place reward.
Yeah, yeah. And then Survivor Archivist does say it was supposed to be Caleb, so that is true. It would have been that, but it wasn't Caleb, so it's still my point still stands. All right, on my after show tomorrow, I'll cover prop bet updates and things like that. So that'll be for the patrons. Tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time, Blake and I are going to be doing Digging Deeper. So that'll be fun. Friday, I don't know the time yet, but we'll be doing House of Villains. And then some point on Sunday, I will be live with somebody. I don't know who it's going to be.
Could be me, but what time? I mean, I mean,
if we have to do Monday, we have to do Monday. I did Monday with Bruce this week.
We got Niners Chiefs. On Sunday,
that's at 4:25, and I have to work till 4. So yeah, we're probably not. I'm not doing Sunday with Will. That's for sure.
I mean, I'm not gonna miss us getting beat by the Chiefs 4 times in a row.
I know. We'll figure it out. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll figure that out. But like the video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist, and
we're having a lot of fun over on the Patreon. I will say, like, we're doing. I mean, it feels like I'm doing a Patreon podcast like every other day.
And they're good though. Guatemala gameplay coming out tomorrow. Guatemala theme coming out Monday.
And Q&A. Location.
And location, yes. Yeah, there's a lot going on. So anyway, thank you all so much, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.